The episode you are about to listen to, episode 131 of the Off Kilter Quilt, was recorded last week and the week before last. The author, or podcaster, me, had every intention of posting this, say, last Tuesday, and then last Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now today, Monday. I don't even know if I'll get it posted, but we're going to try. We're shooting for tonight, Monday, December 2nd. Just thought I'd say that because I keep commenting all the way through the episode about how I'm going to post this Tuesday, Thursday, whenever. And I didn't. Now it's December. But I hope you will enjoy it anyway. Let me say that since I finished recording with the intention of posting, I have gotten a few more comments. So thank you to Dorothy, to Sherry D. Yay, hadn't heard from Sherry D in a long time, and I was thinking about her on Thanksgiving morning, and the next day I got an email from her, and there's one other comment from Katie R. Everyone was really, really kind of disturbed by my ranting. I think you took it with a grain of salt, though. I'm not really a ranter, but thank you for the affirmations I got on that pattern not being wildly easy to read. Anyway, so I'm glad that I have this opportunity in introducing the forthcoming, the upcoming, the right next to this episode. I'm glad I got to include. Thanks for those comments, which I did appreciate, as I appreciate all of your comments. Okay, let's get on with the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 131, the Happy Thanksgiving episode. I thought I was going to actually get this posted on Tuesday, but the week got away from me. So here it is, Thursday morning. It's Thanksgiving. We are at home and having a very quiet Thanksgiving, just the family. Our original intent had been to go to Kentucky this year and see my folks and my brothers and their family. But with my mom just finishing up with chemo, she doesn't really need a big crowd around her right at this very second. Hopefully next year, Thanksgiving in Kentucky will work out. So we just decided we're staying home. We're staying put. We're watching classic movies. Last night we watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which was good. I was kind of curious about how would respond, but if he could hang in there. It's a long movie. It's a couple hours. And he did. He liked it, and Jack liked it. And, well, you know, by the end, was sort of kicking around a little soccer ball and rolling around on the floor just because, you know, he's 11. He's got to move. But tonight we will watch A Christmas Story. That is our annual tradition. And then we may watch The Wizard of Oz tomorrow night. So just watching some classic movies. I assume some football will be viewed over the next couple of days and that sort of thing. And I'm going to cook a turkey breast, roast a turkey breast later in the afternoon. We'll eat around 6:30. It's a 9-pound turkey breast that I got from Whole Foods yesterday. It wasn't quite a madhouse when I got there at 10, but it was getting close to madhouse-ness. So I love Thanksgiving. I feel it's like, even if you're traveling or not, for me, it's a very low-key holiday. It's just about gathering the tribes and enjoying each other's company and, you know, not so much with the gifting. And there's a lot of food, but not quite the extensive food prep that there is at Christmas. I'm trying not to be grouchy about Christmas, as we know. You know, as we know, thanks to Quilt and Jenny, I'm kind of following the grand holiday plan. Haven't been on top of that last couple weeks, although I have actually done a lot of gift shopping. And I'm hoping to, for instance, on Monday or Tuesday, sometime next week, mail my gifts to family members, you know, instead of, and just getting to the PO a little earlier in December. That's a nice thing to sort of get out of the way. And then, you know, the thing about Christmas that I've really come to accept or embrace is it doesn't have to be perfect. We just decorate one room pretty much. I can't remember now what we're calling it, the family room, living room, family room, room where the fireplace is and the TV and the tree. That is most of our decoration is there. I might put some lights up in this room, my quilting room, former living room, dining room. But you know, that's one thing. I know there's some people who like to decorate the whole house. And you know what? If you've got the creative energy and drive to do that, if that's something that thrills you, I say go for it. I just feel like if it doesn't excite you to do that, there should be no pressure. It's not about being perfect. It's about having fun, enjoying family, and I don't know, celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's crazy talk. Anyway, so I do like Thanksgiving. I'm happy to be here on Thanksgiving morning. Travis and I are the only ones up. It's like 9:45, like everybody else. Jack's alarm keeps going off. Bless his heart. He's trying to get up. Bless his heart, so he can spend a little bit more time on his computer. Bless his little geeky, addicted heart. Yes. So I'll tell you what. I've got a couple quilt dyers. I thought, to be honest, that I would have more because I have done a lot of quilting this week, but I didn't. I guess I was so busy working. So I finished the Modern Maple, and you can go over to my website at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com and see pictures front and back of the modern maple quilt that I did, which I like just fine. Excuse me, it's not the most remarkable quilt I've ever made, but it's nice. And I am making progress on my Circle of Geese paper piecing. Still loving the paper piecing. Just, it's fun. There's something about it that's just a good time. So I've been doing a lot of work, working pretty steadily, and my thought is that tomorrow, Black Friday, when I shall not shop, I may have to go to the grocery store, but that's it. Time to get going on the Christmas quilt, the applique quilt that I've been a little bit scared about. Yes. But it's time. It's time to move ahead and to remember Jay over at Art Quilt Maker will help me and my friends, my twilty friends on Twitter. I think will probably be accessible to me. I am not good at Twitter, although I do sometimes like to follow conversations. It's just I'm just too caveman brain for Twitter, I think. I want to thank everybody who took time to comment or email. I got a nice email from my friend Barbara. Got email from, let's see. Got comments from Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, who, if you will recall, last week suggested that I get 3M command strips and clear clips to hang quilts, and I did in fact get those and use them to hang the modern maple muddle quilt in my kitchen, and they are fabulous. If you are looking for a way to hang that doesn't involve thumbtacks, although I was happy to get Jay's affirmation about thumbtacks. I can't remember if she did affirm to me last week or this week, but she did. But these clips are great. They're really cool. So I would recommend them. And thank you to Sandy for that advice. Heard from CG from Oz. I think that's Celia from, and it must be, I'd say Oz is Australia or Oz. Heard from Noni and Kitty. Oh, and Kitty, I love this. You know what she uses to hang her quilts? Her stapler. Heavy duty stapler with lightweight staples. She says, in fact, even quilts that do have a sleeve, I sometimes use a stapler to tack down the corners to make a wonky one lay straight. Ah, that's hilarious. Let's see, heard from Jill, who has been quietly listening to this podcast for a couple years now. This was a good week for hearing from people who have not heard from at all or heard from very much. It's always so nice. It's like, who's out there? Who's out there listening? Well, Jill is. And she talked about having once learned paper piecing and drew some patterns to use on her own, which is something I have thought about. I'm not there. I'm going to use other people's patterns for a while. But I thought, that's kind of neat. I've got all these scraps, you know, that I could use for paper piecing. And I could just make my own pattern, but I'm not there yet. So, Jo, I'm impressed that you were there. But she says she has recently tried paper piecing again and found that she had to relearn it. And that seems to be the trend, that if you're not practicing, if you're not doing it on a regular basis, you have to figure it out all over again. She said that she has a discovery that she made that she would like to share. She writes, I have a desk lamp I keep next to my machine. I adjusted it down below my piece in hand near the tabletop. This way the light bounced off the tabletop and then up toward my work from below. It worked like a light box. This way I get the fabric situated right at the machine. So that's very cool. That is a helpful hint and a good tip. So thank you, Jill. Keep commenting. It was great to hear from you. Heard from Tori. Tori, I just have to say, I miss seeing you. Tori lives up in Maryland, but her daughter was at State in Raleigh until the spring. Katie just graduated this spring. And so I got to see Tori and her wonderful family. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I feel like on a fairly regular basis. So I miss seeing you. So maybe someone needs to come down here for grad school. Anyway, so she was laughing both at my rant and also Will going to the Duke Miami game. I know that was very funny. Yes. Oh, and she wanted, I was talking about my Sabbath year last time, and she wanted to know if I was taking a sabbatical from writing any books. And no, I'm still writing, but I'm trying not to take on extra writing projects or start new projects, which is a little bit of a problem of mine. Heard from Jay, who said that she'd never heard me so angry at my rant. And of course, she looked at the pattern that I was talking about and didn't have any problem reading it. I don't doubt that. I wonder too, you know, I printed it out and I wondered after Jay wrote and said she didn't have a problem understanding the pattern, if I looked at it online, if maybe it would have been clearer that the colors would have been more vibrant than the colors my printer printed out. That was the thing, is that there were not written instructions. There were diagrams, and it was very hard for me to differentiate between the colors, between the beige and the tan and the off-white. And that's a possibility. But, you know, I'm really happy that I went ahead and did the muddled modern maple. I can't remember what I'm calling it now. But I like it. It was a pretty simple quilt to make, and the other one would have been, even if I had been able to understand the pattern, a little more, not particularly complex, but just a little bit more work. So this was good. I like the quilt that I ended up with, and let's see. Oh, and she says the maple block is old. According to Jenny Byers' book, it was first published around 1906. There are several variations of the same pattern with slightly different names and looks. And Jay writes, I think that what happened with the modern maple is someone got interested and reinterpreted the pattern in a modern contemporary way, and it went viral. Well, that's kind of cool. I like that idea that it's modern and yet classic at the same time. And I heard from BB in Colorful, Colorado. She says, because of me, she got onto Craftsy and bought a class. And she will probably try to watch it. Some of it, the night that she commented. Well, BB, let me know. What class did you get? And did you like it? I'm really liking the Angela Walters class, Quilting Negative Space. And I talk about this in the quilt diary that I used it as I quilted the modern maple, which was, I really enjoyed that. That was a fun quilting job. It's a small quilt, and that makes it fun and just easy to handle. But it was neat using some of the techniques that I learned just from watching a couple of the Angela Walters class. So I'm finding that so far the most useful class so far. I want to say, you know, I have not finished the first class I bought, which was the Beyond Basic Machine Quilting. That's not what it's called, but it's something like that, which I didn't find to be very beyond basic machine quilting. But I actually used some of the tips she gives, and I felt it was a good review class. But this class, the Angela Walters, the Quilting Negative Space class, I just feel like, oh, you know, it's just right away, it was very handy, came in handy. As soon as I watched it, I was sketching and sitting down at my machine and quilting. I did some practice quilting, but yeah. So anyway, Bibi, let me know, and thanks for commenting. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time. I know a lot of people say this, and I totally get it. They say, well, you know, I listen to your podcast when I'm driving or when I'm working out, and so I don't comment very much because, you know, and I have this too. I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm doing other things. I think, oh, I'm going to comment on that, and then I don't, you know, because later it comes and you just sort of forget. I think I actually commented on Daisy's latest podcast episode because I was right there. I'm like, oh, I'm doing this right now. But if I let it get away from me, I never comment. But I appreciate you taking the time to comment. And I also just appreciate those comments that come through the air. You know, your thoughtful, thinking comments. Okay, you know what? I just looked at something. This is weird. It's from Seth Wright. I just looked at my spam. It's on episode 129. It says, "That's okay, Aaron. You're part of a big family. We quilters tend to lose our minds quite often, especially when it involves applique. Thanks for the tutorial." And I'm not sure. Did I post a tutorial? So I wonder if that's actually for me. I don't think so. So anyway, but Seth, thanks. I appreciate any comment that I get, whether it's, you know, directed to me or not. All right, I'm just rambling now. Time to get on to the Quilt Diaries. Happy Thanksgiving.
Quilt Diary, Day 1, Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. All right, so I'm standing here in front of my circle of geese, my paper piecing block. Last night, you'll be very pleased and proud to know that I did practice. I made another square for this block, and actually did a square and a half. And, well, do you know, I think I'm talking about this incorrectly. I have made, at this point, three blocks. The whole piece itself, of course, is a square, but these are blocks. They're just small blocks. They're like 6.5-inch blocks. Anyway, I completed 1.5 in the class. And then yesterday, I thought, you know, if I'm going to remember how to do this, if I want to not lose the skills I've just gained, I need to just keep going. And so last night, I did a block and a half. So now I have three blocks. And I'm trying... Here's the thing, and what inspired me to pick up the recorder and start recording is one of the things that interests me is the thinking that goes on when you're making decisions as a creative person, as a quilter, as an artist, as anything. I mean, I think it's so, for instance, when I got the instructions for this course, there were any number of options for choosing your fabric, and I decided wisely, I might say, to get solids, and it said get 12 solids. But I thought, well, you know, not understanding the quilt itself, I thought 9 will do. And it wasn't until, of course, and I had a picture of what I was, but I didn't understand the final product. And so I thought, I can just repeat, and I could. I mean, you could do this quilt, do each block, and you could just do red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, you know, and that would be fine and beautiful. But the fact is, I'm doing a rainbow, and you want when you're doing kind of a rainbow, you don't want to do, so right now, looking at it, I've got like dark green, light green, yellow, orange, red, pink, purple, royal blue, a light purple. I don't want to then repeat, say, the orange, red, pink block. I need three more colors. So I often do this. I often read instructions or materials and go, I'll just fake it. And then I realize later, no, you won't fake it because that won't work. So, but it's interesting what you don't know. We don't know what we don't know when we're starting to learn something. I like that phrase a lot. We don't know what we don't know. And That's actually a really good argument for following instructions. You can improvise later. But I didn't know, I didn't understand looking at the picture that came with the instructions. I didn't understand it at all because I didn't know anything about paper piecing. I mean, I knew some things about paper piecing, but I didn't know what I was looking at. And therefore what made a series of bad decisions, which I often do when I don't know what I'm doing. I think I give myself credit for being far more intuitive than I actually am. I am an INFJ. I'm more an X. So that's introverted. And I think, I think INFJ, the I stands for introverted, not intuitive. But here's the thing. I think INFJs are supposed to have some degree of intuition. But here's the thing that I find interesting. It's oftentimes your first idea about something is right when you're INFJ. This is the Briggs-Myers stuff. Your second idea is often wrong. Or your conclusion, where you go to with that first idea, is often wrong. And that describes me so much to a T. Anyway, so it's interesting to remember that. We don't know what we don't know. And sometimes there are those of us, the way we learn is by making stupid guesses. And kind of trying to guess what the answer is, what the reasoning is. And so looking at those instructions that said, if you're going to do a rainbow, get 12 different colors. And I thought, well, 9 will do because I have lots of each of these fabrics, right? So, but it turned out it wasn't really about the amount of fabric. It was about having 12 different colors. Who knew? I didn't know because I don't know what I don't know. See? The other thing, I don't think I talked about this in my last episode, which I just posted this morning, but that interests me thinking about this stuff. On Sunday in the class, when Nicole, the instructor, sat down to walk us through the process of paper piecing, I watched, and I didn't get, you know, what I really felt helpless, and what I did think about was when I go to schools and I talk to kids about writing, I try to stay conscious of the fact that there are kids sitting in that audience whose experience of writing is my experience of math and paper piecing and this sort of thing, where you're watching someone do something or you're listening to someone describe the process, and they're very clear and matter-of-fact and simple in their explanations, and your brain's just not getting it. For me, my brain has always gotten language, and it's always gotten writing. But math and spatial relations and paper piecing, not so much. And watching Nicole doing that demonstration, I felt like I'm gonna humiliate myself in here because I'm gonna have to leave because I'm gonna be like the stupid person making stupid jokes trying to cover up my absolute embarrassment and not being able to do this. Now, as luck would have it, Nicole's a good teacher. I'd also been primed by a good teacher, i.e. Jay, art quilt maker, who had tried to teach me how to do this. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes one person telling you and then another person. And the advantage that Nicole had is that she was standing by my side. But I think if I had not attempted paper piecing in the spring with Jay, I think it would have taken me a lot longer to figure it out in this class. But that feeling, watching her and feeling almost helpless because I just didn't get it and I could anticipate messing up, I think that's how non-writers feel about writing. I know it's how non-math students, kids who are not good at math, feel about math. And, you know, but the joy of the situation and what I want to take with me when I'm going to do some school visits in a couple weeks is to talk, you know, is the joy is with good teaching, with practice, with time. By making mistakes, you figure it out. And that's what I need to remember to tell the kids I'm talking to, the ones who are non-writers. A lot of people are in the middle, you know, when it comes to writing. And they're kids that love writing. But they're always that group when you say, who really just hates to write? They raise their hand. and you know, and when I say who, when you're given a topic and a blank sheet of paper or a blank screen, you just, your brain just goes nothing, nothing, nothing. And a lot of kids raise their hand. And that's how, you know, I was feeling on Sunday as I was watching Nicole, and my brain was just going, don't get it, don't get it, don't get it. But you know what? I did get it. So yay. So that's what I wanted to share. That's what I'm thinking about. It's almost dinner time. I'm roasting a chicken as we speak. And I've been working on cutting out my remaining 7 leaves for the muddled modern maple. It will be interesting to see. I have a variety of backgrounds for the leaves because I am trying to use my fabric. If this were a classic modern maple, the traditional modern maple, as we say, of course, all the background fabric would be white. And this is just a variety of creams and beiges and tans. And looking at what I have so far, you know, it kind of looks like fall, right? Just a varied colorscape. Yes, like the clouds rushing behind the leaves on a windy November day. All right, well, I'm going to leave it at that. I guess I could come back later. I plan to after dinner and after we clean up and after I chat with the man about his day. I think I'm going to try to put together, I have 5 leaves cut out. I'm going to sew those together, and then I'm going to do some paper piecing practice. I was talking with my mom, and she was very adamant. She's like, you have to practice every day. And I do. I need to get it in my head. I was listening to Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. She just posted an episode today. What a treat. 2 episodes in 2 weeks. Yay. And an interesting one on seam rippers. I'm like, ooh, I like expanded my Christmas list today. And one of the things was I had to rip some seams in this class, and actually as well as last night. I completed a block and a half of my circle of geese last night, but I did make some mistakes. That's okay, because I remembered how to correct them. Yay. But Nicole at the class had a really, she has a Bernina seam ripper. And she said, yes. She's like, I decided I had to get a good seam ripper. She's like, I spent all of $8, and we laughed. But Sandy's going up into the $15 range on the seam ripper. And I'm like, yeah, baby. Although I looked at the picture on her blog, it's really scary looking. So I'm thinking about that again. Yes, but now I'm just, but Sandy, she was saying, Frances, I guess she had listened to a recent podcast where I was talking about paper piecing. She's like, Carol Doak, watch Carol Doak. And I have that DVD. My mom gave it to me, or perhaps just lent it to me. Mom, let me know. And I was pleased to hear Sandy say when she hadn't paper pieced in a while, she watched that to refresh her memory, which would be good because, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. There's some things you just have to kind of learn again. Not every time you do them, but if you let a little time go by. There's certainly knitting techniques that if I haven't done them in a while, I go on YouTube and watch a video to remind myself how to do that. So anyway, so I'm going to do another block tonight. And the quilt that Nicole had finished had 2 circles. Yeah, 2 circles of geese. And there was, you know, the background is white and then had the sash. But in both squares, both circles of geese were sashed, but with white. And it was nice because it gave her an opportunity to do some nice quilting, which I plan to do too. All right, I got to get dinner going. Well, dinner's going, but I got to check on my water for the potatoes. And, yeah, I'll have some more soon. So, see you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Monday, November 25th. I can't believe it's been kind of like a week since I last recorded because I have been quilting away, but I guess that's why I have... Usually when I'm quilting, I'm thinking about quilty stuff, and then I want to tell you about it. But I guess I've just been intensely piecing and quilting the modern maple, and I'm almost done. I am in the process of sewing on the binding, and I just have one more side to do. It is it's a cute quilt. You know, the one thing I'm wondering in retrospect that I might do different, I didn't do any borders, and in some ways you could argue this would be a hard quilt to do borders on. I mean, looking at it, I'm not sure, because the backgrounds fabrics are creams, and then would you do a cream board? I don't know. Looking at it, it's, I don't know. I feel like on the one hand, I could use borders. On the other hand, there's a reason I didn't do it, because I wasn't quite sure exactly what I would do. So anyway, but it's cute. It's almost done. I have these clips that Sandy from over at Quilting for the Rest of Us recommended. They're 3M clips. They're here someplace on my very messy table that needs to get cleaned off before Thanksgiving rolls around. Anyway, I don't know. Oh, here they are. The Command. They're called a Command brand. Damage-free hanging. Holds strongly. Removes cleanly. And these are little clips that you put up on your wall, and then you attach your quilt to them, and you let them hang. So, and then apparently when you're ready to take these off, they won't damage your paint. So we'll give that a shot. Now I'm looking, it says fridge clips. Well, hold on. Well, anyway, there's nothing about here on paint, but I trust Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. I think I heard from Jay, and this may have been from last week's comments, so we've already discussed this, but she uses thumbtacks as well. Yes, I think I discussed that, but the idea is you don't let the quilt hang for too long, of course, because it'll get stretched out. So anyway, I'm excited to get this up. It's, you know, it's funny. I feel about this quilt, the Modern Maple, which I like. It's cute. It'll be fun. It's good to have something sort of seasonal up. But with this and the Halloween quilt I lived with for a while, and I would do it differently now. And essentially what I would do, so if you recall, the Halloween quilt was just blocks of houses. And many of the blocks, the background fabric I used was solid. But for some, I didn't. I used a patterned fabric, you know, Halloween-y fabric for the background. And I think that those fabrics were too busy. And so I think overall, the quilt is too busy. So I like the houses. and in general, I like the idea of the quilt. And I like the blocks in which there are solid backgrounds. But looking at it, spending a long time with it. You know, when you live with the quilt for a while, you really, you know, you figure out what worked and what didn't. I'm sort of walking around right now, and I'm looking at my star quilt that I made a couple years ago from Batiks that I got for Christmas. And I still like this quilt very much. I love the border, the outer border. It's a 4-inch border. And it's a beautiful batik, and I actually remember Kat at Thimble Pleasures helped me pick that out. And to me, that makes the quilt. But I can see looking, and it was hard making the quilt because the star, you know, I had this limited palette. I mean, I didn't really. I could have gone and bought more fabric, but I wanted to use the fabric from this batik collection that I got for Christmas. And so there are a couple of the stars where there's not enough contrast between the star and the background. You know, so, but again, I've lived with this quilt on my wall for a couple years now. I've had a lot of time to study it. And so your eye goes to the place that pleases you, and then your eye goes to the place where you're like, would have done that differently. So will the Halloween quilt get hung again next year? Yeah, I suspect it will. It's possible that I will make another Halloween quilt that I like better, that will get pride of place, and that the Halloween quilt I made this year will go in a more secluded spot. And now that I know about Command damage-free hangers, I can move quilts all over my house. So I'm going to finish up the binding of the Modern Maple quilt, so you will see that. I don't know when I'm going to post this episode. Before Thanksgiving, I think. I want to, of course, get back to being a Thursday girl, but this Thursday, if you're in the States, it's Thanksgiving, and yeah, some of us won't be quilting. I will have to clear off my quilting table for the day. It's such a mess right now. Just piles of books and papers for all my various projects. So anyway, so I may get this posted later today or maybe tomorrow. Once I get this quilt, the Modern Maple, all done, I think I will focus on finishing up this little wall hanging, my paper piecing quilt. I have to confess, I have not practiced my paper piecing in a few days, and I think that's a mistake because I think it's one of those things that I probably need to practice every day, but I've just been so intent on finishing the Modern Maple. So I think what I will be doing this afternoon is working on the paper piecing, because the blocks now come together very quickly now that I know what I'm doing, assuming I haven't forgotten since I haven't done this in a few days. But they do. They come together really quickly, and I will do four. I don't know how to do, so you've got blocks, and the blocks fit together to form a unit. We'll call it a unit. And then the quilt itself will be four units, four circles of geese put together and then quilted. Oh, here's what I want to talk about with the Modern Maple. Of course, I've quilted it. What I did on Friday night is I sat down with my new Angela Walters class and just went through really one of the classes to get an idea for this quilt. So what I did with the leaves, I did within the triangle pieces, did triangle spirals, and within the square pieces of the leaves, did square spirals. And then with the non-leaf, not blocks, I guess squares, I did circles. And that was really fun. And it looks really, I like the quilting. I'm very pleased with the quilting. She called the circles. She did not call them pebbles. And it's just a sort of a row of large circles, say 1 inch in diameter, maybe a couple rows, and then several rows of smaller half inch, maybe even as small as quarter inch circles, and then going back to the big circles. And so it's nice. It's a nice texture. I like it. And it's fun to quilt such a small quilt because it really didn't take me very long. I think I started quilting Saturday and worked for several hours, being very good to get up and move around and stretch, because by middle of last week with all the sewing I was doing, I really had some clenched muscles in my back, and sometimes that leads to really bad headaches. Fortunately, this didn't, and sometimes I can catch it in time and do really good stretches. So this weekend, I was very careful about stretching a lot and taking lots of breaks. It was fun. I enjoyed it. This is the quilt itself is, I think, 28 inches wide around there and maybe 38 inches long. So it's a fairly small quilt. It quilted very quickly and it was fun. And, you know, it was just nice to have ideas. I mean, really, I just watched the first couple lessons of this class and thought, oh, that's what I'll do for this quilt. And it worked. She also showed a paisley quilting that I liked. And when I took the paper piecing class with Nicole, with her wild geese quilt, which she showed us, she did a variety of quilting styles in the negative spaces, including paisleys, and I like the paisleys, and those look fun, so I probably, when I quilt the wild geese, I will get some paisleys in there, and I'm eager to get this done, because I know where I want the wild geese to go in our bedroom, which really does not have very much on the walls at all, and there's a perfect space for that. And the other good thing about getting this quilting done on the Modern Maple is I'm sitting here looking at my Irish chain, which is almost done, and I'm psyched. I don't think it will take any time at all to finish it, and not that speed is of the essence, but it feels a little less daunting. You know how it is, you put down a project and somehow just picking it up does feel a little like, you know, I don't know. It does. Sometimes just to get that head of steam built back up, especially I am at this place where I'm not quite sure to do with the Irish chain. The big thing is to what to do with the borders. So you have the blocks, the chain blocks, and then there's a white border, a red border, and a white border. And I don't know if I should do some quilting on those or not. I'm going to have to look around at pictures and see what I think. So I am very pleased so far with the Angela Walters class. It was helpful just with a couple of classes. It gave me ideas for quilting this quilt, so that makes me happy. My plan for Thanksgiving is getting started on my applique quilt. And I was happy. I went to Hancock's Saturday to get thread for quilting the modern maple. Usually I go to Joann's. They're about equidistant, but I was headed in the Hancock's direction. I've not been in Hancock's in a long, long time. And they've really done a lot to the store. But I noticed they had the Easy Steam fusible web and Easy Steam 2, which Joann's has stopped carrying in its store. So I was happy to see that because I may end up liking that better than the stuff I ended up getting more recently at Joann's. So we'll see. Anyway, it was kind of nice. It's like, oh, it actually, you know, our Joann's. I'm not that, you know, Joann's, I buy almost all my batting there. I get frustrated when they change brands on me. Although, you know, I always get the same kind of batting in that it's 80% cotton, 20% polyester. And I don't get warm and natural because it's expensive. Maybe when I'm up there in the top rung of competitive quilters, yeah, which will be never. No, but I'm pretty happy with the 80-20. But I like my own brands, and they switch brands on me, and it's a drag. But our Joann's is kind of depressing. It's not really very nice. And this Hancock's used to be that way, and it was interesting to walk in it the other day, and it was kind of nicer than the Joann's. So who knows? Maybe I'll start going there. I do not know. So that, I think, is where I am quilty-wise. I am excited and nervous to get started on the applique quilt, but I do have, Jay reminded me, she has tutorials up on her site, the Art Quilt Maker site, and so I will go there and review, but I'm hoping the quilts will really work out. But I'm excited in general to be getting all this work done. Obviously, we are headed into Thanksgiving. We are staying here. The original plan way back in the day was to go to Louisville to my mom's, but as you know, she is recovering. She is doing well, kind of tired after her last round of chemo, which is to be expected. You know, she had a lot of very aggressive chemotherapy, and it's expected she's going to be a little tired, and it's going to take her a while to recover. And so this obviously is not the Thanksgiving for the tribe to descend upon her house. So we are staying here, and you know, one thing we're going to do, I want to do, we'll see if we end up doing this. I don't think Jack or Will have ever seen The Wizard of Oz. I don't know why that is. I think Will's finally old enough. Will, you know, they're so funny because they're such different kids. And Jack has a very high threshold for scary stuff. It really takes a lot to get to him. I don't know that he's been gotten to. One day he will. But Will has a very low threshold, and you have to be really careful. And he's not watched all the Harry Potter movies. And he's probably getting, I don't know. I've not seen the last one, so I don't know about that. But he's good. He is self-monitoring. I think he's perfectly capable of watching The Wizard of Oz. But, you know, he's probably at 8, it would have given him bad dreams. So and he's 11 now, so I think he's good to go. But I feel like, and it's not that I think they'll love it and they don't like musical stuff. So, you know, musical movies or musicals in general. But it's such, as far as American culture, it's a referent, you know, it is iconic, and so I feel like they need to see that. I've not seen it in a long time. Of course, I'm of the age where it was the big deal every year when The Wizard of Oz came on TV, and you took your bath and you got all ready, and it was a big event to watch The Wizard of Oz. So, but I've also checked out Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and Citizen Kane and something else. But anyway, some classic movies. So I think we're planning to watch movies. We always watch A Christmas Story on Thanksgiving night. And we started doing that about 4 years ago. We don't decorate. As if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that we're very stubborn and grinchy and Scroogist, and we don't decorate until mid-December. And partly it's because, you know, trees much less of a fire hazard that way. So we do mid-December, and we have a tree up for 2 weeks, and that is good. We will start listening to Christmas carols in the car December 1st, but not the really fun ones. We'll listen to the Messiah, but no Christmas carols in the house till we put up the tree. I like it all to be very special and focused.
I am not happy. Sandy talked about this on, I think, her most recent episode over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. But these stores that are open on Thanksgiving. And now, do you know there are going to be stores that are open Christmas Day, like drugstores? Target is open on Thanksgiving. I don't know that it's open on Christmas Day. And it just, you know, it's just a drag for the people who have to work and they don't really have a choice. And I think that's wrong. And I think, you know, I've given up on any sort of Black Friday protest. It's just part of the culture. But I think we're really starting. And also, I was at Joann's the other day. I love these little, you know, when people put reindeer antlers on their car and a big red nose on their front bumper. And yeah, I think that's really cool. But I saw someone with that stuff on their car last week, a week before Thanksgiving. I'm like, you don't get it. You're ruining it. It's not special if you're going around with this stuff on your car for 2 months. You know, that is a sixth of the year. Specialness is about something that actually has a really short lifespan, you know. So anyway, yeah, we could just go on and on, and I do go on and on about this, but I do find that upsetting that stores are open on Thanksgiving and people are having to work. It just seems our whole culture seems to be run by commerce, and to some extent is being ruined by commerce. So that's what matters, apparently. Not family, not taking time to rest and relax and meditate on thankfulness. No, just it's like, oh, another opportunity to go shopping and another opportunity for corporate America to make lots of money. And I don't know. I'll stop. But anyway, I am looking forward to Thanksgiving. I'm sad we're not spending it with my family, our extended family, but am happy that we'll be here. I think, though, it's going to be kind of the boys are off Wednesday and don't have to go back to school till the following Monday. And so we'll have a nice time, and it's going to be kind of crisp and cool. We'll have fires in the fireplace and just watch movies and play Scrabble, and I will work on quilts. I hope that if you observe Thanksgiving, that you will have a marvelous Thanksgiving, and I hope all of us enter into this holiday season, whatever holidays we observe, feeling relaxed and stress-free and just, you know, mindful of the things we're grateful for. And I don't know. Where am I going? I don't know. But, you know, it's like chilled out. I believe the phrase I'm looking for is like, let's chill out this holiday season. Let's chill out. Let's make some quilts. Okay. All right. Well, I will see you next time. Bye.